Good morning, church. Good morning. Well, that's so sweet of you. I think I'll leave again. We were gone for a few weeks in Europe, and so me and Susan had and we had food. It's awesome. Love it. Good morning, church. Good morning. Wow. Okay. Super excited to hang out with you here this morning. We had a great trip, and we had a great trip. What can I say other than all the details? So I'm going to spend the next half hour telling you about our trip. Here's a film. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, let me put a pause right there. You've heard me say multiple times, I'm not the future of the church. In terms of, and what I mean by that, I don't mean me personally, I mean my generation is not the future of the church. It's the younger generation that is the future. And unfortunately, national averages say that kids are not going to church, younger people are drifting away from church. So it's super important that we have a healthy kids ministry. And one of our outreach approaches to kids ministry is Kids Night Out on Wednesday night. And I just can tell you this, that's the ministry we don't want to turn people away from. We don't want people wanting to bring their kids, and then we say we don't have room or we don't have help. But currently, that is the situation. So I wanted you to be alerted to that, that we need adults, this generation, to step in to the future generation and help direct them, mentor them. If you're familiar with Kids Night Out, it's really just more of an outreach in the midweek. It's from 6 to 8. If you could possibly find some time in your schedule to step into that and help out, it'd be super important. We are really low on adults, and we're having to turn kids away, and that's a bummer. So all it takes is from 6 to 8, 2 hours. If you've never done something like this before, don't worry about it. Laura, our interim children's director, is great. There's not a ton of training. We just need good, you know, mature people that are willing to, that love kids and want to be there. I encourage you, if you've never done it before, give it a month. What is that, 2, 4, 6, 8? 8 hours out of your time to say, hey, I'm going to give this a shot, see if there's a connection there, the Lord uses me. Then we can open the doors back up and say, hey, come on, kids. But it's, I don't normally pitch this, but I'm pitching it now. Last week, we had to cancel the ministry. That's how dire need we are for adults. So if you can find time in your schedule, when you leave this auditorium, you walk right out that door, make a right-hand turn to the kids' kiosk over there, and Laura will greet you and welcome you in. So please, can you do that? Are we good with that? Pull together on this until God raises up maybe some more long-term situations, or maybe you may be the long-term solution. But just a couple hours. So throw that out there. All right. If ever you decide to learn something new, and when I say that, it could be anything. It could be a career path, and you're going to learn a trade. You're going to be a plumber. You're going to be an electrician. You're going to be a carpenter. Whatever you're going to do. It could be a hobby. You know, you're going to learn how to whatever, have fun and surf and ski and make things at your house or whatever. It could be a sport that you want to learn. It could be pickleball. I know there's a lot of that. It could be an instrument that you want to pick up and learn. Whatever it is you want to learn, there's a process you step into to learn it. And you start out as a beginner, right? You don't really know what you're doing yet. And then there are these fundamental principles, building blocks, if you will, that are super important that you put in place before you move to the next phase. For example, if you're going to be an electrician, you got to understand a little bit about electricity before you start messing with it. That would be a good idea, right? You know, there's certain fundamental things when it relates to playing an instrument before you play a song that you got to learn. And so, and when you skip over these things, you will not advance, move through, get better at, and go from beginner to advanced, because these are foundational and they build on one another. Does that make sense? Okay. When you become a Christian, you step into a process. Same. in the very beginning, you're a beginner. I mean, we don't label you that way, but you're a beginner. And there are certain foundational principles, there are certain building blocks that are critical to be in place in order for you to grow and mature and advance through in your walk. If you try to skip over these things, it isn't going to go well for you and you won't move forward. Now, this is important not only for new believers to understand, but it's also important for old believers to remember. Because a lot of times if we depart from this, it causes problems as well. What is this? What are we talking about when we talk about these fundamentals? We're going to talk about that this morning. I've entitled this morning's message, The Fundamentals, and we're going to look at important building blocks for every new believer. But I would argue that this can even be applied as more older believer, not necessarily more mature, because if we skip these fundamentals, that's super important. By the way, I just want to say thanks to Pastor Dan, to Brandon, and to Amon for preaching the last 3 weeks. I was with you online in terms of I watched them and thought they were very insightful, good, godly, and I thought God used them as it relates to walking by faith. There was a discussion about evangelism. There was also a discussion about planning for your future. And as you heard on the announcements, you guys stepped up and helped Deed and Truth with these 6 different move-ins. So just want to make a mention there. But we're going to be looking at John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14 here this morning. Now, it's been a minute since we've been in John 21, because it's been 3 weeks. So let me remind you the context. Jesus has been crucified, he's risen from the dead, and he's appeared to the disciples. And if you remember back 3 weeks ago, we were looking 3 weeks of what it looks like when God reveals himself to people. And we saw that as a model of how Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, the risen Savior, because they were doubting, they were freaking out, they were not settled, they were certainly disrupted, and we saw how God steps in and revealed himself and learned some things about our own life. But now he's told them, and he told them in the upper room, he says, meet me in Galilee, meet me out where we began the ministry, and so that's where we pick it up, in verse 1. Of chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Galilee area. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, who would be James and our author, right? And 2 others of his disciples were together. So we get a little list of who's there. Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, 2 others, we don't know who they are. Could be Matthew, could be Philip, who knows? Doesn't really matter because John didn't tell us it mattered. But Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, what was their perspective? We don't really know. It doesn't feel very anticipatory. It doesn't feel like, I wonder when Jesus is going to get here. He said he's going to be here. Is it going to be a day? Is it going to be 2 days? We don't see him praying. We just see him kind of hanging out. Were they bummed out? Were they like, look at us. We had 3 years, and now we're back in Galilee. And what do I know to do? These guys were professional fishermen. This is what they did. Especially Peter, James, and John. They were in partnership together. Peter said, let's go fishing. Maybe it's stepping back into his old life. Don't know. Maybe he just needs some food. Don't know. Maybe he wants to make some money. Don't know. But they did what they were used to doing. Fish. I would maybe even suggest that there's a little depression kicking in. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. You'll see later he was about 100 yards away. Jesus said to them, children, NIV says he says friends. It's actually just a familiar term. Doughty called them children, but he said, friends, do you have any fish? And they answered, no. That's not an unusual conversation. How many of you fish? Okay, you ever go somewhere and you're gonna go fish and some guy's fishing before you and you say, hey, catch any fish? It's not weird, right? And then you may ask him what kind of bait you're using or whatever, right? Just conversation, but he yelled it. And he said to him, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. Now that's interesting. They didn't challenge him, like, who are you? Or maybe they thought he could see something they couldn't. He could see a swell, he could see, I don't know. But they did it. And they caught a lot of fish. Verse 7, disciple whom Jesus loved, who's who? John said to Peter, it's the Lord. What triggered for John? Why did that trigger for John? Luke chapter 5. When these guys were new believers, they were fishing, Peter, James, and John. And what did Jesus tell them? They hadn't caught any fish. They were getting skunked the whole day. And Jesus said, cast on the other side. Do you remember what happened? They got so many fish that the nets broke. But more importantly, do you remember what happened after that? They put down their nets and followed Jesus. That was the trigger. Going back to the fundamentals, going back to the building blocks of how they even stepped into their faith. Because Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they did it. So Jesus now shows up and says, let's review some fundamentals here. Put your net on the other side. They did it. They caught the fish. Ah, got the principle. And here it is. When it comes to important building blocks for every new believer, make obedience to Jesus your goal. They obeyed the Lord. They obeyed him the first time when he said, come follow me. And he's saying, don't stop doing it. You're reverting back to your old life. You're reverting back to your old ways. You're reverting back to your old dependence. Yeah, you know what you're doing. You don't need me to fish, do you? Oh, yes, you do. You need me to live. He was preventing them from a self-reliant life. He was preventing them from going back to the old life. He was reminding them to stay on track, because if you go back to your old life, you're going to lose your way. The Galatian church lost their way. You probably don't remember, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he says this. He said, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Rhetorical, it's by faith. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, you start out walking with the Lord, relying on the Lord, obeying the Lord, and over time, you start taking back the controls. Over time, you start doing it your way, not God's way. Over time, you start drifting into what's comfortable for you versus what is right before the Lord. That's why Jesus told them earlier in the upper room in John 15, he said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And clearly Jesus sensed that they were trying to do stuff apart from him. And so he reminded them. I mentioned to you, we were in Europe for 3 weeks. Part of that was an 11-day cruise. It was the Mediterranean, and it went all the way from Barcelona all the way to Athens, Greece. And it went to Nice, it went to Rome, it went to Croatia, it went to Naples, it went to, you know, all these, a lot in 11 days. There's no way you could have taken that trip by car and done it in 11 days. It took the ship, it took the crew to work at night while you're sleeping, and it took the waters to navigate the water. It had to go beyond us. We could have never done. We may have hit the few first two stops in 11 days, but no way would we have done that kind of coverage in 11 days. You get where I'm going? You may think you can do stuff for kingdom work. You may think you're able to advance your own walk with the Lord, but there's no way you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish and do the things that God wants you to do in your own strength. You have to do it in the strength of the Lord. And that's where the obedience is. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch, abide in me. What does that mean? Well, he said what it meant. Later on, he says, as the Father loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. Here it is. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. And look at the result here. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. If you're not a happy Christian, you're probably not abiding, which means you're not obeying. And you're finding yourself out here on an island in your own strength, in your own effort. I was thinking back, maybe you can too, some of you old timers, when you first became a believer. Things were exciting. You're reading the Bible for the first time, learning things you never learned before, applying things you never applied before. And over time, I know that. I may not be doing that, but I know that. And we leave the foundation of obedience. And, you know, it becomes old. It's like that electrician gets a little careless with some of the protocol that he was trained to put in place and to protect, and certain types of shoes and certain types of gloves, and check that breaker for this and this, and I can wing it. And before you know it, there's damage. Before you know it, there's emergencies. And we can do that in our walk with the Lord. Now, if you're a new believer here this morning, I just want to say the most important thing you can be doing is reading God's word and obeying God's word. Don't just read it, obey it. And that's another thing we can slip into as old timers, is we can read it and not obey it. We understand it, but we don't do it. And we wonder why our walk is stale. We wonder why our walk isn't filled with much joy, because we're not abiding, and we're not abiding in a way of obedience. So, and that would be our own strength. Back to the story. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. That's so Peter. It's so awesome. He's just like, really, John? Okay. You know, and just jumps, right? Everybody else is hanging in the boat. The disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. But Peter couldn't wait, right? That's who Peter is, right? Not the first time he jumped out of the boat into the water. Remember the other time when Jesus was walking on water and everybody else is trying to figure it out, and Jesus is like, I'm feeling it out. Let's go, baby. I'm walking to you. Remember what happened? He didn't get out too far. He's like, oh no, right? He started to sink. His own strength. When he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was good. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. So Jesus already had his own fish. That's interesting. He really didn't need theirs. Was it for a lesson, I wonder? And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. So John gives us the head count. It's a good catch. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Ooh, interesting. Another reference back to Luke chapter 5. So Jesus is pointing out the size of the fish that they caught. Much fruit. Not torn. And Jesus said to him, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. So there's no doubting anymore. Everybody's on board. Everybody's not going, huh? And then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Gave them fish and bread. Huh. That's interesting. Remember the other time there were fish and bread? Multiplied fish and bread? Maybe this was a flashback to John chapter 6, the loaves and fishes. There's a lot that's made of this. Size of the fish, 153. If you divide it by 3 and add 6 and 9, you end up at 777 or whatever. You know, people do all kinds of gymnastics with this stuff. But I don't want to miss the 30,000-foot view because I think that's super important. When they came on shore, Jesus wasn't floating above them as an apparition and a ghost and said, I'm Jesus, you know, risen from... No. He didn't sit them down and lecture them. He didn't confront them and say, what are you doing fishing? I told you to wait for me. McFly, do you not remember what I told you? He didn't do any of that. What's he doing? He cooked them breakfast. He's hanging out. It's a very intimate and comfortable setting that we see here. He invited them to sit down to eat together. And I would argue this is another important building block for every believer. Number 2 on your outline, keep it personal with Jesus. I believe in this situation, Jesus is reminding them of the old times and hanging out together. They were intimidated by a resurrection, and he's saying nothing changes. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you know it's all about having a personal relationship with the Lord. Because here's the deal. If you just focus on obedience and not the personal side, you can easily slip into legalism. And Jesus now isn't your personal savior. He's a theology. He's a doctrine. He's an approach. He's something. He's a list of do's and don'ts. Versus what Jesus told them in that upper room when he said in John 15, no longer I call you servants. Servants do not know what the master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Friends. Is Jesus your friend? Think about your friends. Think about your BFFs, best friends forever. Is Jesus like that? He's hanging out, eating with them. You'll get into some content later. They'll have a discussion, and Peter will be involved, and you'll see. About a year ago, got a message on Facebook from a gal that I went to elementary school with. Long time ago. Lincoln was president. And she said, hey, let's get a reunion of all our classmates from fifth grade. You know where they are they alive? You know, this kind of thing. Anyway, she gathered 5 of them. We all went to school in Long Beach, so we met in Huntington Beach. I thought, this will be a wild ride. Have any of you ever done this? Any of you met with, like, elementary school people? I think it was about a 2-hour lunch, and about a half hour into it, you kind of realized, We have nothing in common. The only thing we had together was those fifth grade years. And if we didn't stay there, it was off the rails. It was like different perspectives, views. Nobody disagreed, but we could have. And you just realize that. And why is that? Why is that? Why was that first through fifth grade solid? And if we're there, we're good. But anything after that was not good. It's not complicated because we didn't keep a relationship going. We didn't stay in touch. We didn't do life together. There was nothing personal. The only thing personal was first through fifth grade, and boy, we could rock and roll. You get where I'm going here? If you're finding yourself having to look back at your Christianity when things were personal, it's because you haven't been keeping the personal going. You haven't kept the relationship in place. You may go to church, you may believe a doctrine, you may have a do, you may have a don't, but you don't have a personal connection with God. You don't have a BFF and never talk to him and never see him. You have to stay in touch. So think about this for a second. What does it take? So you might go, okay, how do I keep this personal thing going? Well, how do you keep personal things going now? You spend time with people. Jesus spent 3 years with these guys. It was personal. They slept in the same rooms. They ate the same meals. They traveled the same roads. They struggled the same struggles. The personal was there. And Jesus was trying to keep it going with the breakfast. So that's one way. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When you have a personal relationship, if you're going to go stronger in your marriage, you're going to go stronger in your friendship, do you talk to one another? Yeah. Do you listen to one another? Yeah. So how do you think you're going to go personally with Jesus? The personal piece. If you talk. Oh, and if you listen, that kind of be spooky. We talked about this multiple times. It's not hard. Just shut up. Because if you're talking, you're not listening. What do you mean listen? Is it like a voice? Is it like a, hey, Mark, you know? No, it's, you know. All I can say is you know. It's beyond an impression. It's a Sometimes it's a solution, sometimes it's a challenge, but as you sit and learn to be quiet, which we're not very good at today, because when you sit and try to be quiet, you'll see how your mind races and how your mind isn't quiet, but the more we practice that, Jesus withdrew many times, we're told in the Gospels, to quiet places to be with the Father. So we should withdraw to quiet places to be with the Son. Sure, talk. But then be quiet, listen. And what else do we do in our relationships when we think about growing them and keeping them personal? We do what the other person likes. We don't just do what we like. We do what the other person likes. You learn each other's rhythms, each other's values, each other's wants, needs, and desires. Husbands and wives do it. Good friends do it. You don't always necessarily do what you like or give the gift you want. You give the gift they want or they like. Right? Okay, good. What does Jesus want? Well, he wants you to abide. He wants you to obey. We know that. Do you remember John chapter 4, Jesus talking to the woman at the well? And he said, the Father seeks worshipers who worship in deed and in truth. God wants our worship. Jesus wants our worship. What is worship? Acknowledging, thanking, maybe singing, with a lyric, but exalting God and acknowledging who he is and his love for you. The Lord seeks that, John 4 says. So, spend time with the Lord, talk to the Lord, listen to the Lord, worship the Lord. Those are just a few suggestions on how to grow in that personal peace. But these are building blocks. These are foundational, fundamental things that need to be in place when we become believers, and here's the key, ready? Kept in place as we move through. And when they're forgotten, then we lose our way. I've told many times that back in the day, I used to teach guitar. And you have foundational building blocks on playing guitar. I won't do it, but so, and part of it is, in the very beginning, when you learn chord structure and all this, is you gotta learn to where you put your hand, right? So if this is the guitar, you're playing here, the key is where your thumb goes here. Not here and not here. Because you can see if I'm doing a chord here and I do this, it pulls it down, and if I go under, it pushes up. So you learn to put it in the back, and then your strings won't buzz. If you miss that foundational truth and don't practice it, oh, you may think you're playing a song, but it's buzzing the whole time because it sounds terrible, right? Now, you can complain along the way and go, that hurts. My muscle in my thumb, that aches. Or the end of my fingers, that hurts. I understand. It doesn't feel great, but it'll be great. Don't mess that up. That's a building block. It's the same here. It's the same here. Obeying the Lord and keeping that personal connection with the Lord is preventing the strings from buzzing. And here's the deal. If you're a believer and you've been one for quite a while and you feel your strings are buzzing, what do? You get back to the fundamentals in the building block. Because there's so many ways this can be diverted. And Jesus addressed this in the book of Revelation. Do you remember when he was walking among the churches? And talking about pulling their lampstands out, talking about what they did right or what they did wrong. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said this, I know your deeds. He's talking to a church. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. That's good. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. Well, that's good. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name. Amen. And you haven't grown weary. Wow, that sounds pretty awesome. Yet I hold this against you. Here it is. You have forsaken your first love, the personal peace. Remember the height from which you're falling, and here's the solution. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to the fundamentals. Go back to the building blocks and reestablish an obedient heart and a personal connection with Jesus. Lord, I know that there's many of us in varying degrees that need this, that are old timers, that have claimed Christianity for decades, and in many ways, Lord, drifted from that claim and trying to do things in our own effort, our own knowledge, our own strength. We're not really connected to the vine. There's not a lot of fruit. And as a result, we're not joy-filled, we're guilt-ridden or bored. And so, Lord, I do pray for these lessons that you clearly gave the disciples. You're just teaching them the whole time. In their disruption, in their depression, in their disequilibrium of not knowing and not being sure, you're reminding them of these truths. And so, Lord, I know that we need this as well. And Lord, for new believers, for the very first time, that are just walking in their faith, please give them a hunger for your word. Please give them a big hug and that they can circle back with you and just talk to you and interact with you. So, Lord, we thank you for these truths. We want to step into them in our own life and be connected as the vine is to the branch. In Jesus' name, amen.